AK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. 9 people killed, 30 taken to the hospital after a fire at an assisted living facility in Fall River, Massachusetts, south of Boston. Mayor Paul Coogan says in addition to those casualties, 5 firefighters were also hurt.
Fire department, police, DMS, everybody did a 5-star job, doing their best they could to rescue as many people. They worked some more, and they saved a lot of people's lives tonight.
When the firefighters arrived, people were hanging out windows looking for help. More rain in Texas Hill Country hampering the search for some of the more than 160 people still missing after the 4th of July flash flooding. The death toll from the floods stands at 132 people. A church in Lexington, Kentucky, the scene of a deadly shooting on Sunday. The gunman killing 2 women before he was shot and killed by police. Police say the gunman had shot a state trooper, stole a car, and drove to the church where he is believed to have had connections to at least 2 of the victims. This is ABC News.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin residents will now have one less thing to worry about as they're going through airport security. Under new regulations from the Transportation Security Administration, no Wisconsin airports will require passengers to remove their shoes while they're moving through the security line. Officials say the change was made because of a pilot program that showed the Transportation Security Administration had the equipment needed to screen travelers going through security properly while allowing them to keep their shoes on. A recent United Way study found 1 in 3 Wisconsin families are struggling to afford basic expenses. According to the study, about 24% of Wisconsin households are identified as ALICE families by the organization, meaning asset limited, income constrained, and employed. The designation covers families with enough income to remain above the federal poverty line but are unable to afford basic needs like housing, childcare, and transportation. The study also found the number of ALICE families in the state has grown by about 12% since 2010. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is investigating a report of a Barron County woman being attacked by a black bear on Saturday. According to a press release, the 69-year-old woman reported the attack at around 2 p.m. on Saturday. She was able to escape the bear and call 911 before being taken to a local hospital for treatment. DNR officials say they attempted to track the bear with the help of a trained dog, but the search was unsuccessful. They also set several bear traps in the area and plan to euthanize the bear when it is found. The Duluth Seaway Port Authority has announced that the CHS Superior Terminal will cease operations in September. According to CHS officials, 23 employees at the shipping terminal will be laid off when it officially closes on September 8th. The shipping terminal stores and ships about 20 million bushels of grain each year. In a statement, Duluth Seaway Port Authority officials said they were disappointed in the company's decision to cease operations and would be working with the City of Superior to find another solution for continued use of the terminal. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers draft is underway. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The MLB draft continues today. In the first round, the Brewers selected third baseman Andrew Fisher of the Tennessee Volunteers, who scouts say has modeled his swing after the Phillies' Bryce Harper.
I'm working on my swing in the cage a ton. I'm trying to emulate Harper as much as I can. Obviously, he has different rhythm in the box and different approach sometimes, but I mean, how could you not watch a guy like that hit?
In all, the Brewers drafted 5 players, 2 infielders, 3 pitchers. Yesterday, the crew beat the Nationals 8-1. Freddy Peralta giving up just 1 run in 6 2/3 innings. Peralta asked about heading into the All-Star break just a game behind the first-place Cubs.
I think that we are in great position right now. We're doing great because we are not thinking about how far we are from the first place.
NBA, the Bucks introducing Miles Turner, who showed off his new jersey.
See me in this bus green? Or my girlfriend tell me I look good in green, so you know it's going to be a seamless feat.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high right around 87 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop into the mid to upper 60s for an overnight low. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny, high in the upper 80s with a few scattered thunderstorms by tomorrow night into Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The Big Brutal Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right. In the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Matt Rothschild is in the guest host seat with me on Monday. We keep you up to date. Who's out and who's in? Is it Bongino and Patel or Bondi at the DOJ?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Buck, and Kevin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up this hour, we're going to talk about Medicaid and the Medicaid cuts and what that is going to mean specifically for Wisconsin. In the second half hour after the 9:30 news, he just won't die. Jeffrey Epstein just won't die.
But wait, Jane, I thought, wait, he says. I get it now.
Yeah,
okay.
He just won't die.
Yeah.
And that's not sitting well.
No.
With a portion of the Trump supporters. So we'll talk about that after 9:30. And hour number two, very much looking forward to this. Beyond the Cheese is back, where we look at a business in Wisconsin outside of the dairy industry. And we're going to be talking to Hope Melberg, who runs the Canine Convoy in Oconto, Wisconsin.
And if you haven't heard of this, seen it, know anything about this, get on Facebook. I know. Get on Facebook.
That's where they have a page.
That's where they have a page. And you're going to see tons of dogs.
On a bus.
On a bus.
So great.
It's so fun.
It is. It's fantastic. And this just kind of evolved for her. It's not like she, this is what I'm going to do. It was a necessity, a matter of necessity, and just kind of turned into a business. So that's the kind of stuff we love to talk about. Actually, we just love learning about new businesses and different businesses in Wisconsin.
Absolutely.
If you ever have someone who you think would be great for us to highlight on Beyond the Cheese, please let us know. You can always email us, no matter what it's about, at janesays@civicmedia.us. J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S. janesays@civicmedia.us. So Beyond the Cheese coming up next hour at 10:30 for Audio Sorbet, where we try and lighten things up a little bit. The new Superman movie is out.
Yeah, it is.
I know you and Calvin have both seen it. We can talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
The boys are very excited.
And the girls are.
And the girls are too. But yes, it's lovely to see how excited you guys are about this movie. But it started us talking about popular films that everybody else in the world has seen but you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because again, Superman, huge franchise. How many have there been now?
4, 5, 6.
Yeah,
this
lots.
Is the seventh.
Many.
Seventh feature film.
So what popular film that everybody else in the world has seen have you missed? Maybe intentionally, maybe not. That's Audio Sorbet, and then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Fossil Envy edition.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're just, we're kind of feeling a little green.
Yeah.
Here in Wisconsin. So that's coming up at the very end of the show. Just a reminder as well, we're going on the road this week.
Yes, we are. Oh, my goodness.
We're hitting the road. after tomorrow's shows.
Yes, we are.
Todd Alba is going to be broadcasting from here at Radio Park tomorrow. And then Greg and Todd and I are hitting the road. We are broadcasting from Oshkosh this coming Wednesday. We're going to be at the EAA Museum because the EAA kicks off next week.
Yes.
So we're going to have a little preview about that, what's going on in Oshkosh. Hopefully we'll talk to Dick Napinski, who's been with the EAA for decades.
Yeah.
And will give us a little lay of the land and some of the special things that are going to be at this year's EAA. On Thursday, I'm very excited. We are going to be in Butternut. Butternut, Wisconsin. And we are broadcasting from the Fish Art Gallery. Fanatical Fish Art Gallery. Yeah. Kelly Meredith is the owner of that, and she's going to be hosting us.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Kelly, for having us there.
Heck yeah.
And we're going to talk to her about Butternut and some of the history about Butternut and all kinds of wonderful things. I'm very excited. And we wrap it all up on Friday in Hayward.
Which I've never been to Butternut or Hayward.
Taking Greg around the state.
We're checking off City 2 of Jane's favorite place in the world that she's never been to.
Butternut. Yeah. That'll be my number one, number two. But if you're going to be in the area, we would love to have you drop by. In Hayward, we're going to be at the Lot.
Yes.
Which Hayward, is an outdoor venue.
It's an outdoor venue. It's right across the street from the station in Hayward. So, yeah, come on out. It's a cool space. I'm hoping for great weather.
I've looked ahead. It actually looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Not going to be quite as hot as it is down here.
Sweet,
so
sweet.
Join us on the road next week. If you are able, we would love to see you and meet you and just talk about all things, as Todd says, that make Wisconsin great.
Yeah.
Wanted to start off with this, though, because this is going to be affecting all of us. This is from the Wisconsin Examiner. Eric Gunn has the byline, patients, advocates brace for the consequences of cuts to Medicaid. This is going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I was going to say sneakily, not so sneaky, but the cuts to SNAP and Medicaid aren't going to happen until the midterms. They start January of 2027. So it's going to be what cuts when we're running into the midterms next year?
Yeah.
It's going to be what cuts? Have you seen any cuts?
You haven't been affected.
You haven't been cut by Medicaid. See?
And these are important things. These are small things to remember when you're having discussions with people or if individuals are bringing up these topics, because one of the things they love to say is, well, how's your 401k? Or how have you been affected? Or what freedoms have you lost? And in the moment, you might be bereft of an answer because that's a very direct question and it's very dumb questioning, in my opinion. But yes, the effects will not take place until about a year and a half from now.
Right.
And that is important to remember at election time, because they're going to have to run on these impending Medicaid cuts. I mean, I kind of feel a tinge of sorry for them, because these people who voted for this bill are going to have to run next year in the thick of the oncoming cuts that are coming. And they can try to blame all they want, but it's up to us and up to you as the listener to inform people, share what you know, and tell people, yeah, it's a coming.
It's coming, yeah. Yes, in 2027.
Yes.
Kathleen Cummings works for the Columbia County Aging and Disability Resource Center. She helps people who are 60 or older apply for Medicaid and other benefit programs based on their annual income and total assets. Some people on Medicare also qualify for Medicaid. But this also has problems. She shares the experience of one woman. She qualified for Medicaid, but they contacted her because she was getting bills for her health care. She had failed to renew her Medicaid coverage when the new renewal form she got buried in other Medicaid stuff. Mm-hmm. There's one, I believe the initial application for Medicaid is 41 pages long.
Yeah, and that's the other part of the conversation that needs to be always brought up, that the people who are in a place of trying to, quote, save or protect or insure Medicaid, who they just want to cut it. I mean, that's just they're using fancy flowery language to push it, but they just want to cut Medicaid. They make it seem like Medicaid's easy. I just go down the street, push a button, I get my free Medicaid. Well, first of all, it's not free, as far as I know. There is some cost to it. You have to, because you have to make a, you make so little amount.
Right.
But also, it's not like, as far as I know, because I am lucky enough to never have to have been on Medicaid, but it's also not just money being sent to you either. It's the Medicaid is like, it's a program you sign up for, and it's supplemental to, like, you go to a place, they charge Medicaid for right. for the services you get. It's if I'm not mistaken, you don't just get a check from the government.
I'm fairly certain you are correct.
Yeah.
No, people aren't just getting a here's your Medicaid check for this month. No.
Yeah.
That's not how it works. And I think the other thing that we tend to forget if we have not been in the system, because me, like you, I've been very fortunate, haven't had to use this. Currently, the disability application, so this is the carve-out where you don't have to work because of specific disabilities. The disability application for Medicaid takes 12 to 18 months for a decision, and as many as 85% of applicants are denied at first.
Yeah.
About 20% get overturned on appeal. That takes another 18 to 24 months. So we're talking about years.
And you have to re-up that coverage, too, if you get accepted. I remember Pat was talking to somebody whose sister was on Medicaid due to a disability. And I believe it's every 6 months they had to check in. And this was not a disability where a medication was going to make this person better again. Or this was a permanent disability. Confined to a wheelchair for the rest of their life. And they required certain care. Medicaid covered that care. Medicaid covered because they were unable to work, period. But yet they still have to go in and prove
right.
that this is the case. So this narrative that Medicaid is free, easy money is a falsehood. And it has been for a long time. And we've talked about it before and we don't have to get into it now. But the whole, quote, able body argument, too, is another fallacy within this discussion point. But yeah, it is incredibly, you have to be dedicated to get Medicaid.
It's cumbersome.
Yes.
It's cumbersome to apply. This woman, again, who works with this, she said, I've bought a house and I've had less paperwork. I've purchased a car and I've had less paperwork than it takes to fill out a Medicaid application form. The first barrier is huge. This is even without getting the documents you need to provide the proof that they are asking for. We had a guest on months ago who was on Medicaid because of a physical condition that he has.
Yeah.
He would love to be working full time.
Mm-hmm.
He can't.
Yeah.
He just can't.
Yeah.
Physically, he is not able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think he's alone. I'm also not saying there is no abuse.
No.
That there aren't people taking advantage of it. I'm sure there are. But to make this assumption, because I think that's what it is, this assumption that everyone who are on these programs are lying and don't deserve it.
Well, and they always, and that's the other point, too. And just Google Rick Scott.
That make me do a spit take there.
The fraud and abuse, I'm using Doja's terms, fraud and abuse that takes place within the social safety net, whether it be Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, I'll throw SNAP in there as well, is always being done by the nefarious individual.
Right.
The mustache twirling thievery that's taken upon them, that's taking our money away from us. When, in fact, yes, there are individuals, I'm sure, who are gaming the system.
Scamming the system.
But companies are doing it, too. Corporations are doing it too.
Big time.
And to the tune of millions and hundreds of millions and billions of dollars. Once again, Google Rick Scott.
Seriously.
And we need to fix as much as we can the fraud and the mishandling, but we can't just, it's always being put on the doorstep of the people, the individuals. And because we don't know exactly who they are, we get to paint a broad brush on poor people.
Love to hear your experience. If you are on Medicaid, 855-752-4842. Join the conversation. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back. Jameson.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. 5 years after the fake elector scheme to overturn the 2020 election, legal accountability is grinding along for some of the conspirators and those who wittingly or unwittingly supported them. But pardons may be in the wind, too. May 27th, a three-judge New York appellate court stripped Trump campaign attorney Kenneth Chesbrough, an alleged key organizer of the swing state fake elector scheme, of his license to practice law in New York. June 16th, the alleged mastermind of the fake elector scheme, John Eastman, was recommended for disbarment in California. He can still appeal the decision. Also June 16th, a civil jury found MyPillow CEO and election denier Mike Lindell liable for $2.3 million for defaming former Dominion Voting Systems executive Eric Coomer. Dominion itself has a claim pending against Lindell, right-leaning news outlets, and several other Trump-alleged conspirators and collaborators. The Michigan Advance reported July 5th that a hearing on whether the trial of 15 of 16 Michigan fake electors should go forward has been moved to September 9th. A trial in Arizona is scheduled for January 5th, 2026, for the alleged fake electors and Trump associates, including his former chief of staff, Mark Meadows. Mother Jones reported June 4th that President Donald Trump's pardon attorney was considering pardons for the accused fake electors. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Veal.
Veterans, have you explored your benefits lately? The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs stands ready to serve Wisconsin veterans, their families, and their survivors. With our partners like your local county veteran service officer, we can help access the benefits you've earned and the support you need. For more information, please visit WISVets.com. That's WISVets.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, with funding provided by the Milwaukee Brewers and the Brewers Community Foundation.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, talking about Medicaid cuts and what that is going to mean for folks here in Wisconsin. And we had a text come in from Sue.
Yeah, Sue from Franklin said, even though the cuts won't hit until 2027, I've heard that notices and such will be sent out sooner, which might hit right around the midterms. Let them talk their way out of that. And that's one of the reasons why we're talking about this right now. The midterms are a year and some change away.
Right.
And I know, who likes talking about elections? Nobody does. It's just so stressful.
Well, especially in Wisconsin, because we're in them constantly, yeah. And it's exhausting.
Yeah, but we need to have these conversations now so people can get become aware, stay educated, and stay vigilant. And having these conversations, sharing what you know with the people you care about who might be affected, and letting them. I mean, if anything, I don't know what'll happen if Democrats can. If they can only take one chamber, I don't think they can do much and do a budget repair bill,
right,
or something of that nature. But at the very least, you have to prepare yourself for what's coming and know that, you know, even though you might say to yourself, well, I haven't seen much of a change, it's
coming,
it's happening, and this is going to mean a lot for people in Wisconsin on Badger Care. It's going to, I mean, right now, like, it's going to be a big change. And Now we're seeing stories. You posted something in our discussion, the Wisconsin Public Health Association. They're trying to get themselves together to get the information out there.
So people can start prepping for it.
Yep. And changing their budgets and finding supplemental coverage. I'm sure this will be a boom for these
insurance companies,
Medicare Advantage places that are saying, are you on Medicaid? Do you not have enough coverage? Well, for $10 a month,
yeah,
we'll cover you, you know? So we're going to keep talking about this. And yeah, well said, Sue in Franklin. Thank you for texting us. They've got to explain this. They will be running on this. And of course, in some areas, people are going to be like, yeah, we love this guy.
Yeah.
But.
Well, and again, these cuts, the Medicaid cuts and the SNAP cuts don't kick in until 2027,
mm-hmm.
which I believe was absolutely by design.
Yes.
So that they don't have to deal with this at the midterms, mm-hmm. and just they can go and spew whatever they want in the lead up to that election.
Yeah.
And yeah, the pain's not going to come till later. And people, we forget.
Yes.
We tend to forget, which is why we talk about these mm-hmm. things.
And you brought up SNAP, and that's going to be another program that's cut. Remember, who from Wisconsin? Congressman from the 3rd District, who said SNAP benefits won't go down a nickel.
He was pretty adamant about that, as I recall.
He got heated under the collar.
He was a little little agitated.
Mr. Van Orton will be running for re-election next year, and I believe it's important, especially for those in the 3rd District and those running against him, whether it's a primary or, you know, the other side of the aisle, to consistently ask the question, you said they wouldn't go down a nickel. Why did you vote 3 times for a bill that decimated SNAP?
Donna Friedsam is a distinguished researcher emerita at UW-Madison. She says there are about 192,000 childless adults currently enrolled in Badger Care Plus. Most of them already work, and they cannot get health insurance through their employers. There are a lot of people in that position.
Yes, that's the able-bodied argument. They want you to believe that all able-bodied people, quote unquote, which is very subjective phrasing in my opinion, because who knows what's able and what's not. But let's just say somebody who has no life-threatening conditions someone's on Medicaid. They want you to believe that they are lazy, sitting around, playing video games, eating Cheetos, doing nothing while also not collecting a check, by the way. They also want to propose that idea. It's like they're getting a Medicaid check in the mail. No, they just have medical coverage. Yes, we pay through our tax dollars, but the individuals who are, quote, able-bodied also have jobs because their jobs don't provide it. They don't provide enough. Or in the case of some big corporations, Walmart, they tell you to take
the
state
government.
Medicaid, yeah. Badger Care, whatever your state Medicaid's called, they encourage you to take that. So this is not people just being shiftless layabouts.
Well, and Dr. Oz, I saw briefly as we were putting the show together this morning, Dr. Oz was on some network saying that people who do not work who get Medicaid are watching 6.1 hours of television a day. How do they know that? Mm-hmm. Have you done surveys of every single person who is on Medicaid and ask them what their TV viewing habits are?
Yeah.
Or is this just like Mike Johnson knows in his gut that there are hundreds of millions of illegal people who are voting? They just know inside that this is what it is, even though there's no backup for that.
According to a group called the KFF group, it's an independent source for health policy, research, polling, and news. In a poll they did from 2025, May, 64% of adult Medicaid recipients under 65 are working either full-time or part-time. 36 are not working due to caregiving, illness, disability, or school attendance.
Yeah, don't forget about these people who are caregivers.
Yes. So, once again, do not let them paint the able-bodied storyline here, because that is it is too chock-full of details for them to even care about.
News is coming up next, and then when we return, geez, the guy just won't die. That's all coming up. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Proposed legislation to withhold the salaries of suspended judges was introduced in the Wisconsin State Legislature on Thursday. The bill comes following the suspension of Milwaukee Judge Hannah Dugan, who was criminally charged after being accused of helping an undocumented immigrant avoid arrest by immigration authorities in her courtroom. The legislation was co-authored by State Representative Shay Sortwell and State Senator Corey Tomchek, who said Judge Dugan should not be continuing to collect her pay while facing federal charges. Months after the completion of the most expensive state Supreme Court race in American history, Judge Chris Taylor has announced record fundraising for next year's election. This week, Judge Taylor's campaign announced it has raised nearly $584,000 with nearly 4,800 contributions from all 72 Wisconsin counties during the first fundraising period of the campaign. That mark is significantly higher than the roughly $460,000 raised by Justice-elect Susan Crawford's campaign through this point last year. Officials from the Bayfield State Fish Hatchery say they've received $1.6 million in state funding to support facility improvements and preserve its history. According to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, the funding will allow the hatchery to drill a new well in an effort to improve access to quality water. The funding will also aid in the restoration of the hatchery's original building, as well as improvements to its visitor center. Construction work on the upgrades are scheduled to begin in February and should wrap up by the end of 2026. The Spooner City Council considered treatment options for the invasive emerald ash borer at their meeting on Tuesday. The invasive insect has now spread across the state, reaching the last few uninfected counties in the northwest Wisconsin region last year. City officials say there are about 130 ash trees in public areas, but they have not been infested with the invasive insect yet. The city council plans to gather more information about potential options and side effects before informing residents as to what treatment plan they will put in place. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you thought it was hard to cancel a streaming subscription before, brace yourselves, because it's about to get even more difficult. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the Federal Trade Commission's click-to-cancel option has been struck down by a federal appeals court. The FTC has tried to make it equally as easy to cancel a subscription as it is to sign up, so expect much more frustration. The whole issue started with Amazon, which was accused of tricking customers into signing up for Prime, then making it extremely difficult to cancel. I guess we know how Bezos paid for that wedding. Here's a Hollywood beat just for me. I hope you like it too. The show Bosch is coming back by way of another spinoff. Ballard will drop on Amazon Prime like Bosch and Bosch Legacy did previously, both of which are now kaput. Maggie Q will play Renee Ballard. Titus Welliver will return as Harry Bosch, who will assist Ballard with cold cases from time to time. All 10 episodes of Ballard dropped a couple days ago and are available on Prime. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high right around 87 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop into the mid to upper 60s for an overnight low. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny, high in the upper 80s with a few scattered thunderstorms by tomorrow night into Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 70.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big Brewer bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be back from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair in the world headquarters of Madison, taking a look at the weekend headlines and looking ahead to our next road trip with Jane Matinair. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 10 o'clock news, we're going to learn about the canine convoy operating out of Oconto. It's We Go Beyond the Cheese. Our segments that we try to do once a month and highlight some business outside of the dairy industry in Wisconsin. It can be just about anything. And if you ever have a business you think should be highlighted on Beyond the Cheese, just let us know. You can email us at janesays@civicmedia.us. Did want to talk about this, though, because this story just won't go away.
No.
As much as some people really, 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 really wish it would.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jeffrey Epstein just won't die.
Wait, what?
Yeah, he's dead, but he's not going away.
Oh.
Jeffrey Epstein, the famous rich
financier,
pedophile.
Oh, that too.
Sex trafficker. Great guy. Yeah. Yes, this is not going well for the Trump administration, and it's not going away. This is after, was it just last week? Attorney General Pam Bondi came out and said there are no Epstein files. There is no client list. The investigation is done. Good night, everybody.
He did it to himself in jail. He offed
committed
himself.
Suicide.
They contradicted every massive conspiracy theory
that they all supported up to this point.
Yes, that they all supported
and fed.
And ran on, too.
Essentially.
Some of them ran on this matter, too. We are going to find the list. We are going to expose the list. We are going to investigate. And nope, that's it. Guys, go home. It's fine. We're good. Take a half day.
Good night.
Yeah, it's absolutely fine. We got pizza. Pizza's here. Right. Don't worry about any list. Who said list? You know, my favorite thing on my list is pizza.
And I don't know that this helped, but the president... decided to put on his social media platform a really, really long screed about this.
Dramatic reading, Jane?
Sure.
Oh. And now we present a reading of the words of Donald J. Trump by Jane Matinair.
Thank you. What's going on with my boys and, in some cases, gals?
Ew.
They're all going after Attorney General Pam Bondi, who is doing a CAPS fantastic job. We're on one team, MAGA, and I don't like what's happening. We have a perfect administration.
All caps.
The talk of the world, all caps. And selfish people are trying to hurt it all over a guy who never dies, Jeffrey Epstein. For years, it's Epstein over and over again. Well, yeah.
Yes!
You guys talked about it for years over and over and over again. Why are we giving publicity to files written by Obama, Crooked Hillary, Comey, Brennan, and the losers and criminals of the Biden administration? They created the Epstein files. So there are files. We were told last week there are no files, that the client list doesn't exist. There are no files. The president, who knows all, says the Democrats created these files that apparently do not exist.
Yes.
This isn't playing to his base, who, again, they have fed this conspiracy to for years.
And it has only grown and grown and grown. I mean, let's be clear here. There is enough evidence to show that Jeffrey Epstein was doing monstrous things all over the world and could possibly have done it with some of the most popular,
powerful
people on the globe.
Yes.
Round Earth, by the way. And that, like, right there is what should be looked at. But beyond that, it's turned into a Hollywood liberal cabal taking children into the basement of a pizza shop that didn't have a basement and sacrificing babies for their essence. And, like, it just grew and grew and grew. And I love this line here in the what seems like 48-page truth tweet.
It's almost like applying for Medicaid.
But harder to read.
Yeah.
They created the Epstein files just like they created the fake Hillary Clinton / Christopher Steele dossier that they used on me. My guy, why did you bring up the Christopher Steele dossier? That doesn't make, if anything, if that isn't even true, fine. Okay, whatever. You weren't in bed with sex workers. There was no urine involved. I'm just giving a brief update. But when you bring that stuff up, that doesn't help you either.
It really doesn't.
It brings attention to those things that really no one talked about anymore. And now here I am talking about it. Google Christopher Steele dossier. It's quite weird. But, like, here's the thing is, James, there isn't a way other than just releasing the files and saying, here you go.
Here's everything.
That's too truthful. That's too easy. That's too, like, they cannot do that for various reasons. There's no way of getting out of this. To say there was nothing in the file, there is no file. He died in prison of his own accord. Look away. Look at magic. You know,
I'm going to deport Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah, I'm going to deport Rosie
Squirrel.
O'Donnell, and we have more pizza. That was the worst version, in my opinion. If anything, just do what they've been doing for over a decade. We'll tell you in 2 weeks. Just give them the 2 weeks. Because people who believe in this stuff would have at least said, all right, in 2 weeks.
It's coming.
We're just getting done with the budget. We got a lot going on. Give us 2 weeks. Give us a month at most. And then keep extending the deadline. At least you could have drawn them out that way. But this, I think, I mean, it is having real effects within the White House. Not even like the people on the outside, the blogosphere and all,
right.
and Reddit and all those places where, and 4chan, where it's like have been incubators for this thing. But it's inside his own White House. People are really angry.
Well, Dan Bongino, the head of the FBI.
That's, no, Cash Patel.
Oh, Cash Patel is the head of the
FBI. He's like the Bongino's deputy director.
Okay. Bongino didn't show up for work on Friday. After he and Pam Bondi apparently had a face-off about this.
Because he has been one of the most vocal.
So is Cash Patel.
Yeah, so, and both of them, there has been rumors, these are just rumors, that they both might quit over this, which I'm just going to say, can I pack up your desks for you? I'm here to help. But yeah, this is such a thing. And what's funny is that Cash Patel hasn't even been talking about it. Like, he hasn't been talking about it a great deal while he's been in the job either. He hasn't been saying, my A number one priority is to take care of this.
But that's what they told their followers mm-hmm. in the lead up to this election.
Yep.
Day one.
Yeah.
We're going to release these files and all these Democrats and all these journalists and Tom Hanks apparently are all on this Epstein client list and we're going to take them down. Mm-hmm. That was the promise. And now. Poof.
Mm-hmm. And let's also step back for a moment and talk about some real world stuff within this topic. There should be investigations on this.
Absolutely.
There should be people held accountable for this.
Absolutely.
And I don't care if they are people that I have voted for or people that I like. If they are a part of this and it is proven to be true, they should face consequences. I agree with those individuals on this. There should be consequences for these actions. Unfortunately, now to somehow and stupidly try to get them to not talk about it, which this will never happen anymore. A whole group of individuals, and I'm not even going to name names because, you know, we've heard a lot of names. They're going to walk away completely without
scot-free
with no consequences whatsoever. And that ultimately is giant shame because there are real victims in this too.
Oh, yes.
Children.
Hundreds of girls.
They are the victims of these crimes and they will never, their families will never see, there will be no justice, period. None.
I would like you to explain, because I didn't know what this was for a really long time. What's a ratio?
Oh, a ratio?
What is if I post something on a social media site and I get ratioed? Explain to me what that means. Calvin, I see you're putting your phones on. You can explain.
You're looking at me. I'm like, dude, you should have given me some, because I'm ratio of salt to sugar. I don't know.
What does it mean, Calvin, to be ratioed?
To get ratioed on social media means that your post receives more comments than likes.
And that's not usually a good sign.
That's usually a sign that people are upset by your post.
Yeah. So that screed that we only read a very short part of on Donald Trump's.
I was really hoping for more voices and accents.
I'm not going to do that. He got ratioed so badly on that.
Yeah.
By his own followers.
Yes.
Quote, "We want the elite pedos exposed. You promised us that. Pam promised us that. Cash promised us that. Now it's our fault. We want that promise fulfilled and call Pam out every time she lies. What else has she lied to us about?"
That's a great question.
That is a good question.
Welcome to our new segment, What Else Has Pam Lied About?
Chrissy, 3607. That's a very, very good question, Chrissy.
It's a very good question. I mean, what else are all of them lying to you about? I mean, we know they're lying about so many things.
We're sharing some of the comments after President Trump posted, "Stop talking. Why won't he go away? Don't talk about Epstein anymore.
Yeah.
The files that don't exist and the client list that doesn't exist were written by Obama and Hillary and all those people, but it doesn't exist. So never mind."
Well, yeah, it's like I said, there either can't be a person in there who knows how to handle these sorts of problems, or they absolutely agree with the president and say, yes, of course, tell them that there's nothing there. Tell them it didn't. Well, yeah, that's the thing, is are there files? Because according to him, there are files that were written by the left.
Right.
And Pam Bondi says there are no files to report.
So which is it?
So which are there?
So that leads me to believe that there will be something, that they have to do something now.
Oh, they
have to release something.
Don't
they?
No. They don't.
You think they can just wave the wand and say, la, 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 he never, you know, he's dead.
For those who aren't watching the live stream right now, Jane just bit her hand like she was a 1950s, comedy actor.
It's going to be really interesting because, again, this outrage isn't going away, and this outrage is not just limited to random posters on social media sites.
No.
Some of his biggest influencer fans are revolting about this now.
Well, and this is just this is kind of the bigger meal. I don't know, that's a dumb way of saying it. But this is like the second chapter of this too, because they did the whole thing with the influencers and the binders, and the things had nothing. And those influencers were angry because they were running out of the White House so excited, saying, "We've got it.
Here's the proof.
And there was nothing there. And now they're saying there's nothing of nothing. But they don't have to put it out. Who's going to subpoena them?
855-752-4842. If you would like to join the conversation, you are listening to Matt Nair on Air. We are coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide. You can listen global on the app Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In a chaotic and somewhat discombobulating end to the process, Wisconsin lawmakers passed a state budget and Governor Tony Evers signed it into law at about 1:30 a.m. on July 3rd. What made this budget different from the others signed in this era of divided government is that Democratic votes were needed to pass the budget in the state Senate. Part of the reason that was made possible is because of new, fairer maps. Last November, Senate Democrats flipped four seats, shrinking the Republican majority to just an 18-15 margin. Now, candidates are already lining up to take this the rest of the way and flip the chamber. Democrat Jenna Jacobson, who currently serves in the Assembly, is now running for Senate, challenging Republican Howard Markline in the 17th District. If Democrats can flip that district and one more seat, they could control the state Senate for the first time in more than 15 years. That would be a big deal for state politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump is again trying to have it both ways on agricultural workers. He says they're working on, quote, a temporary pass where the farmer can have a little control as opposed to you walk in and take everybody away. He's describing feudalism, where the people who work the land are more under direct control of the land owners rather than the rule of law. He wants the vassals. He wants the lords. He wants the peasants.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big Brewer bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right. In the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Calby coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are gearing up to go on the road. Greg and I and Todd Alba hitting the road after our shows tomorrow. On Wednesday, we will be broadcasting from the EAA Museum in Oshkosh.
That's going to be fun.
Looking forward to that, really. Yeah. EAA gets underway next week.
Yes.
Huge event. Brings in people from all over the world. It's massive.
It is the world's busiest airport for 1 week.
Yep. So we'll be in Oshkosh on Wednesday. We are going to be in Butternut on Thursday. And Kelly Meredith, who is the owner of Fanatical Fish Art Gallery in Butternut, is gracious enough to host us.
Yeah.
And so we're going to be broadcasting from there. If you're in Butternut or in the area, Park Falls is real close to there, please stop by and say hello. We would love to meet you. We've also said, too, if you have restaurant suggestions, send them in.
Restaurant, cafe, ice cream shop.
Ice cream.
Music stores, like record shops, things like that. Like
anything.
If there's just cool shopping or... landmarks, what do they call them? Sightseeing ability type of things. Let us know.
Historical things we should check out.
We'd love to know about that. Well, we're going to be in those areas for a limited time, but we're going to try to pack in as much as possible.
As much as we can. And then we will wrap it up in Hayward. This coming Friday, we're going to be at The Lot in Hayward, which is right across from our station, WBZH.
Yes.
And it's in a park. Mm-hmm. And so come by and say hello. We would love to meet you and talk about all the things that make Wisconsin great, as Todd Alba likes to say. And thank you to PJ, who sent in a couple of his favorite restaurants in Oshkosh. He said the Pilorus is wonderful on Main Street, and also the Chalice, also on Main Street in Oshkosh. Thanks for that, PJ. We will try and check that out. We will have some time in between shows and things like that. And again, we will be on the road starting on Wednesday. Make sure you follow us on social media. We should have some interesting videos.
Yeah.
We're already making plans. Ever see a 14-person musical happen in one vehicle? Well, you're going to see it this week.
Oh, boy.
Oh, it's going to be great.
Oh, boy.
Before we went to the break, we were talking about this. Jeffrey Epstein just won't die, and Donald Trump is not happy about that. He's very bothered.
He's very bothered.
He's very bothered. It should just go away. We don't want to talk about it anymore. Mm-hmm. Besides, the whole file client list that doesn't exist was written by Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and all the people. So there is a list.
But there isn't.
But there isn't a list. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of where we are. Just stop talking about it. Look at this thing over here.
Yeah.
Again, he mentioned over the weekend he thinks Rosie O'Donnell should be stripped of her American citizenship because she's mean to him. That's a squirrel.
It's a squirrel, but you know what that is, though, Jane? Like, it's absolutely a squirrel, but it is something to remember for the just the back of the mind. That's the talk of dictators.
Yeah.
Who just say, in my lifetime, in your lifetime, have you ever heard a president say to anyone in any form, in an interview, in the newspaper, TV, on the radio, I don't like so-and-so. They should have their citizenship taken away.
And get kicked out of this country.
Have you ever heard that? Republican or Democrat?
Pretty sure no.
No, neither have I. That is a worrisome thing. I mean, and it's not the first time. It's not going to be the last time. But it's just something to remember. When the president of the United States says out loud into a microphone or on social media, I think this person should be stripped of their citizenship, or I think this person should be punished for not liking me or liking America. That's liking me. That is a worrisome thing to remember. And if you voted for that, make that make sense.
Yeah. Again, I don't think this is going away anytime soon. Good heavens. Fox and Friends were talking about it.
Yeah.
Ooh. Which really makes me go, what?
And not to say, hey, folks, it's fine.
No. On Sunday morning, Fox and Friends weekend, Kevin Cork, along with Charlie Hurt and Rachel Campos Duffy, Sean Duffy, our transportation secretary's wife.
And mother of nine.
Yes. Responded to the post that he put up on his social media site over the weekend telling people to just, yeah, it's nothing here, nothing to see here. Yeah, they weren't having it either.
No.
If there's anybody who could walk in and say, okay, we've all resolved all the questions, there's nothing here, it would be President Trump. The problem is, you can't really do that without giving some explanation. And there has to be some explanation. And I think that's why you have a lot of people still pretty with a lot of very valid questions. Mm-hmm. Yes. You can't tell me, said one of the Fox and Friends weekend people, you can't tell me that 1,000 people were hurt and there are no people out there that we can arrest.
That goes back to what I said. There are victims, and right now it seems like there will be no justice for them. These individuals will get off scot-free.
He says, let's depose every single person who might have had a chance to get on that list. You know who we should depose? Bill Barr.
Yeah.
Who was the attorney general at the time that Jeffrey Epstein was taken into custody.
Yes.
And Bill Barr's office is the one that took all of the videos that we heard about from all of Epstein's various properties.
Yeah.
Where is all that stuff?
It's gone.
Or it never existed?
I think it's more of the first and the second.
I think Bill Barr would be a really good person to come before Congress and explain all of this.
I think the best one is Ghislaine Maxwell.
Oh, well, doesn't he have to pardon her now? Because there is no client list. There's nothing to see here. Why is she in prison?
It shouldn't even be a prison. I mean,
was she wrongly accused?
Yeah.
Wrongly convicted?
She was just a friend hanging out with
her. I don't know how you can leave her there when there's nothing to see here.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing to see.
You said this was Fox and Friends on the weekend?
Yesterday morning.
That's the same place Pete Hegseth came from. Isn't that weird? Isn't that weird?
That is weird. We have news coming up next, and then when we return, we are going beyond the cheese with a canine convoy in Oconto. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. 9 people killed, 30 hospitalized following a fire at an assisted living facility in Fall River, Massachusetts, south of Boston. Some people who couldn't leave on their own had to be carried out of the building by first responders on ladders, and now they have nowhere to live, says Fire Chief Jeffrey Bacon.
They're at a shelter in the city that they opened up for the victims, and we'll be working with them throughout the day to make sure that they have a place to stay.
No word yet on what caused the fire. A man in Lexington, Kentucky, shot and killed 2 women at a church and injured a state trooper and another person before being shot and killed by police himself. ABC's Aaron Katursky's there.
According to police, we're told the suspect had a history of mental health problems, had anger issues and drug use, and he had access to a gun that he used to shoot 4 people here at this church.
It's believed the man had connections to those who were shot. More rain in central Texas hampering the efforts of officials in places like Kerrville, hit so hard in recent flash flooding. This is ABC News.